good to be here. Sometimes I don't really know what to say to start things out, but yes, it is an awesome thing to be married. My beautiful wife is here right now, and I'm very thankful for that. But yeah, so it's good. It's good. So, how many of you guys like change? Like, when you think about change, how many like change? Yeah, I mean, this is true. So, I mean, there was a political campaign run on change. I mean, but there's all sorts of changes. There's good changes, there's bad changes. But when you think about it throughout life, I mean, there's been a lot of changes here in the last like 20, 50, even like 5, 10 years. I mean, the one I can think of is my cell phone. Like, this used to be like the end thing. Like, you could just flip it up like that, and it'd be like the best thing out there. Now it's like you have phones that you can send email on. You can have like basically a whole keyboard there that you can type on. And there's been all sorts of changes with that and technological changes. And likewise, I think as humans and as people, a lot of times we change our minds about things, whatever it may be. Just recently, yes, I just got married and I went on a honeymoon down to Puerto Rico. And while we were there, I kind of got sick a little bit while I was there, but we still had fun and everything. And while we were there, they had two pools there, and this one pool had like a little water slide that they had for kids. Go ahead and cue that up. Jess actually took a picture. That's me right there, going down the water slide. Keep in mind, it was for little kids. Now, Rick actually asked me, he was like, is that really you? Is that like Photoshop? And I was like, no, that's actually me. And Jess took the picture. So that is me right there on the water slide. And so I kept going down this thing like all the time. And Jess was like, kind of like, really? Like, and I was like, yeah, it was fun. So, and So I kept going down this thing, and it was kind of interesting because I'd get up there at the top, and it'd be like kids about as high as my waist, you know, and then maybe a little bit higher, and then like me, like tall, hairy-chested guy just standing there amongst all the little kids, and like, you know, people are like, who's that guy? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know who that guy is. No, not really. But well, while I was up there that one time, standing in line, there was this little kid about 9 or 10 years old. And I was just, you know, standing in line, minding my own business. And then he just starts speaking to me in, like, Spanish. And I kind of give him that look, like that blank look, like I have no idea what you just said. It's kind of like, and, you know, you kind of, even when people are speaking English to me, sometimes I have that look. So, because I don't really understand what they said. So he gave me, he started speaking to me in that language and kind of had that look going on. And I was kind of like, okay, what did he just say? Thinking in my mind. And then he kind of looked at me and realized, he didn't understand what I just said. And so then he goes, English or Espanol? And I was like, English, English. And he was like, oh, just look at that iguana. He was just trying to tell me about an iguana. He's like, look at that iguana up there. And and it was a really big iguana. And I thought to myself, this kid is only like 10 years old, and he can speak, I mean, English, like, great. And I assume he speaks Spanish really great, too. I mean, I couldn't understand it. But, I mean, this kid just pretty much dominated me in the art of communication. And I'm like 26 years old, and I have this thought in my mind ever since I was growing up that, I mean, or at least in the last like 10, 15 years, I really didn't need to learn Spanish. But after that experience, my mind changed completely. My mind was like, you know what, I think I might need to learn this language, because if a 10-year-old can do it, certainly I can do it, you know. And later that night, you know, I talked to Jess about it. We went back and we made a big list of things that we were going to like try to accomplish, and one of them was learn Spanish. And so my mind changed about that. But likewise, you know, a lot of people think, and likewise you guys, I'm sure you have a change of mind sometimes, whatever it may be. And some people think that God's the exact same way. That God, he'll like walk into a Chinese restaurant and he'll go eat food like, oh, that was pretty good. And then he'll walk back the next week and he'll have a bad experience, get food poisoning. Like, you know what, I changed my mind about that. That's what they think about God sometimes. But this is what the Bible says when it comes to God. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Malachi 3:6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. And in 1 Samuel 15:29, it says, says, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind." And you know, some people think today that the Bible is outdated and that he's changed his mind about salvation and how we come to a relationship with Jesus. And I'm here to say today that that has not changed ever since Jesus Christ has walked the face of this earth. The God's way of salvation has not changed. Regardless of time, regardless of technological changes, this book stands strong. It is a rock, and it has not changed. So, what I want to do is talk to you guys today about salvation. And I know that I realize that many of you probably are saved. Now, I don't know all of your stories, and that's okay. But the thing is, you need to know your story, and that's what we're going to investigate today. That's what we're going to talk about. And my goal for today is I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that you would know that you know that you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because it is the most important decision that you will ever make on this planet. And because some of you, I know that sometimes if there's a subject which you may not like, you may not think that you need to listen. Like, I tune out sometimes. I tune out. I struggle with that. Sometimes if I might have a 20-minute conversation with somebody, I might tune out for about at least once. I don't know. Now, don't think that when I talk to you later that I'm tuning you out. I'm not. I promise. It just sometimes it happens. I struggle with that. I daydream. I know. And, like, because sometimes even in church I'll be thinking, who are the Titans playing this Sunday? Who are the Titans, yeah? Or, I wonder where we're going to eat, you know? And I start thinking about that. I'm like, wait, no, I need to listen to the Word of God. So just stay with me, trust me, stay with me. And see, here's the thing, like, today, like, I realize there's probably three groups of people here today. The first group is that you know that you know that you know that you have been saved, that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that He has changed you. Group number two, you're probably like, you know what, I don't know God. I know that I don't. I don't know how many of you are here today. And then there's three, that the third group is, you know, I really don't know. I'm not really 100% sure. I think I know. But I'm really not sure. But you know what's funny? When it comes to other things in our life, like, there's things that we nail down to the ground that we don't have any doubt about. Like, when we go to cross the street, like, we look both ways most of the time, I would imagine. Because if you don't, you might get hit by a car, and then you have to deal with insurance, and then, you know, all this other stuff that's not good. Or when you write that check, like, you make sure that you actually have money in the account for that check so it doesn't bounce. Like myself, like, I make sure, I'm scared of fire, so I make sure when I leave the house that I check the burners two or three times, even if it was off all night long. I do that all the time. And I check the exhaust fan, because, you know, I'm thinking to myself, because there was a person who had a fire one time with an exhaust fan down here, I'm thinking that could happen to us. So I always check the exhaust fan. And, you know, it's funny, like, people will be sure about other things on this life, but when it comes to salvation and their relationship with God, they'll be like, you know, I really don't know. Today we really want to nail that down on the ground. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" So today we want to examine ourselves, examine our lives, see where we are with God, and if we really do have that relationship with Jesus, if that ever did happen for us. So, if you could, turn with me to Mark 5:1. And we're just going to address three different questions today. Now, I do realize that it is up on the screen, but I kind of like you guys to follow along a little bit in your own Bible. And it's okay if you don't have a Bible, you can just follow along that way too. So, alright, Mark 5:1, it says, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus, Jesus from a distance. He ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And we're going to stop there. We're going to pick it up here, the rest of it in a few minutes. But let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for each and every person that's here. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit be here this morning, that you work in our lives, and that you just convict us if we need convicted, and just show us what we need to do, if we need to do anything. But we just pray for your Spirit to be here today, and we just give you the glory, and we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you. Every time I people hear that I'm preaching, they always ask me, they're like, "So, it's not that, like, what are you going to preach on? It's like, are you going to tell any stories?" Like, that's like the most common answer I get, because I guess, like, I like to show illustrations, I'd rather call them, illustrations from my life, and relate them back to the gospel. And it's interesting that that I get that question. So, yes, I am going to tell a story today, but I figure, because I've pretty much been in this church most of my life, and I just kind of like to tell my story today. I don't think I've ever showed anyone or told anybody, or at least a lot of people, my story of how I came to know Jesus Christ. And so I just want to start out with that today. Whenever I was young, I grew up, and I remember hearing about Christ, and probably about when, I don't know, I was 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, we started coming to this church. And now, we went to another church before this, but we started coming to this church when I was really little, and I can remember that I actually, like, I might be preaching right now, but I hated church when I was a kid. Because, like, you had to stand up and sing, and, like, I didn't really like standing because my legs hurt and stuff, and I still, to this day, I don't really like standing for long periods of time, but I had to stand. But then I liked children's church, because we went in there, and, like, they gave us food, and I can even remember, competitions, like, between boys and girls. So, you know, any time you want to keep my attention, just put food in front of me, or, you know, make a competition happen. Like, that still works to this day, but that worked with me whenever I was a little kid. And very competitive. So she knows. Yeah. So really, I mean, church, I didn't really like it all that much. And I really just wanted to go home, because I had things I needed to do. I had to go shoot hoops. I had so many other things I needed to do with my life. Because, I'm 6 years old. I'm ready to tear up the world, you know. So, and then as I grew older and everything, there was a time we kind of, didn't really go to church all that much. And I hadn't been saved at this point or anything. But I can remember that my grandmother growing up had always told me about Christ. Every time we go over there, she'd be like telling me about how awesome Jesus was and I need to get saved and stuff. And I can even remember having conversations with my dad and everything. And he would tell me about Christ and other people that God put in my life to tell about Christ. And I can remember even sometimes, like, my dad, whenever he would kind of try to witness to us and tell us about Jesus, there would be a guy named John Heggie. He would turn up, like, really, really loud when we walked in the room. And I mean, most televangelists I'm not big fans of, but there's a few that I really do like, and he is one of them. And dad would turn it up, like, astronomical volume, just so we could hear it. And I remember talking to my sister, and Steph would be like, "I think dad thinks we're heathens, because he really turns that thing, like, way up in the, like, whenever we're walking in the room and everything." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know." But here's the thing, it's funny, like, I actually one day started listening to what he had to say, and started listening to, like, the Word of God, and I got convicted, and I got saved. I got on my knees, and I prayed. So if you want to say, like, I got saved because of a televangelist was involved in my salvation. There's many other people involved, but a televangelist was involved. So I got on my knees and I prayed. I remember. So the question I have for you is, when did that happen for you? When did that happen? Now, I'll say this. I don't remember the day or the hour. I don't remember, anything else of the details or anything that. I just know that it happened. And I can tell you it was when I was 15 years old. And it always kind of... Now, this is why this is hard for me, because it bugs me a little bit that I don't know that. Because, like, you talk to some people and they're like, you know, it was Sunday night. It was, like, 5:25. I even remember the second hand was on the 22-second hand and everything like that. And I'm kind of like, God, like, I don't even know. Like, is this bad? But I know that it happened. And then I listened to other testimonies how, like, they were, you know, like, in a gang or they were a murderer and they did all this stuff. And I'm like, man, it's almost like I'm thinking to myself, why couldn't I have done that so my testimony would be that awesome? You know? So, but those are the thoughts that were going through my mind. But at the same time, what God showed me is that no matter what your testimony is, it's very powerful. It shows how God has changed your life. Even if you've gone down that path and you've done all those things that are really bad, it's still very powerful. Even if you were a kid and you were 12 years old and you kneeled at your bedside and prayed Jesus into your heart, no matter when that was, that's still very powerful, because Jesus came into your life at that time. He took your debt away at that time and took all your wrong and replaced it with all His good. That's powerful. That stuff is power. So no matter how it happened. And you know, it's funny, whenever I do talk to people who have gone down that wrong path, they always wish they hadn't gone down that wrong path, and they're left with even scars from that, from those days. So I just want to encourage you, if you grew up in the church and your testimony isn't like you did all these bad things and you smoked a lot of drugs and stuff like that, it's still, your testimony is still powerful before God, because He changed your life. So you just need to know that it happened. So the question is, when did that happen for you? You know, before I was saved, probably the reason why I would tell you that I was okay with God is simply because I would say, well, I believe in God. Have you ever talked to that person that whenever you say, like, witness to them or tell them about Jesus, they'd be like, you know, that's cool, you know, because I believe in God too. And you're kind of like, but you don't, you know? You don't believe in the one true God. Because anybody can say they believe in God. You know, anyone can say that they know God, you know? But there's much more to it than that. And if you look at statistics today, I've heard statistics anywhere from 80 to 95% of people in America today, depending on which research group did the report, say that they actually believe in God. And the thing that breaks my heart, and I think the thing that breaks God's heart, is there are people throughout, you know, this whole entire world and in this nation that go to church every single Sunday. They hear the Word of God. They say they believe, but they've never met Jesus. They've never gotten on their knees and asked Jesus to come into their heart. I think that breaks God's heart, that they would hear it and yet reject it. You know, I've heard stories of pastors who've pastored a church. They're preaching the Word of God, and yet they come to a point, they're, wait a minute, I never accepted Christ in my life. I think even Pastor Lay had a story about that. But that's just crazy. But in James 2:19, this is what it says. It says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. That is why just saying, I believe in God, is not a good answer. Your theology is on par with a demon. A demon believes in God and does shudder. There's a big difference. So why do people say believing God makes them okay? I think the major reason is because they want to make God into what they want them to believe. They want God to serve their needs, to be all about them. And that's not simply how it works. And if you do ask other people as well, other unacceptable answers that I've heard from other people, that when you ask them about when they met Jesus, they'll be like, well, I was baptized when I was like a baby, or I was baptized when I was 12, or I went through confirmation class. Like, I had one guy that told me, he said, the reason why I'm okay with God is because I open doors for people. I'm like, are you serious? Like, I didn't say that to him, but I was thinking in my mind. I was like, well, let's talk about that. Other people have said, like, well, I was, you know, I grew up a Christian, I was always a Christian, and that kind of bugs me, because you wouldn't say, like you wouldn't say to someone, well, I've always been, I don't have a birthday, you know? You would probably look at them and go, you're crazy, I don't know if I want to hang out with you. or you'd say, I want to witness Jesus to you. So that would be the right answer. But there's a point in time in which we have come to know Jesus if you have a relationship with Him. When did that happen for you? I don't know when that happened for you, but that's something that you should know the answer to, whenever it may be. You might not know the day or the hour. It might not be a flashy story, but you should know the answer to that. You should know your story. In this text right here, this man had a point in time where he met Jesus. And if you look at Paul, he had a point in time where he met Jesus. There was a time when that happened. It wasn't like he just woke up one day and he was like, oh, that's cool, I guess I believe in God. It didn't just all of a sudden, like, gradually happen. Like, he took in different, he went to the synagogue here and there, and then he was like, you know, I think this is cool, I believe in God. You know, he had a point in time where he met Jesus and he got down on his knees and accepted Him into his life. Let's keep reading. Let's go a few more verses. It says, in Mark 5 and 14, it says, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Growing up, like I said before, my grandmother, she would always tell me about Jesus, and almost, I think it was every other Saturday, we would go over to my grandparents' house, and my mom would clean and do all sorts of other things, and whenever I'd show up there, my grandmother would always just take us aside and just all of a sudden just start telling us about Jesus, like telling us all these sorts of things about the Bible and everything. I'll never forget it. And in my mind, I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to give her a few minutes and I'm going to walk away. You know, because I had things to do. They had woods there, like, you know, I could build some forts. They had horses that were lying on the property, which I could throw apples at, which I did a number of times. Not good. I love horses, by the way, but as a kid, you think of other ways to have fun with them. So I had different ideas of what I was going to do whenever I'd go over to my grandmother's house. So she would always say to us, she was like, just whenever you're done, you just go on your merry way. Just tell me. I won't be offended. Just tell me. Like, I'm just going to tell you all this stuff about the Bible. But when you're done listening to it, just tell me. So I would give her about 5-10 minutes and be like, okay, grandmother, I think I'm done. She would be like, okay, that's good. That's good. So, in a number of times, she told me about accepting Christ. She told me about how to accept Christ, how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know I prayed Him into my life many times whenever she told me that. And you know what happened after that? I went outside. I played. I did all these other sorts of things. I kicked the football around. But you know what happened? I didn't change. No matter what happened, I might have prayed Him into my life, but I didn't change. I can remember even when I was young, my sister, like, she took me aside and would tell me about Jesus. I remember her even reading me the book of Revelation and everything, and I'd be like, okay, this is scary, but yet it's confusing. So my mind was kind of like going every which way. And I'm sure because, you know, an older sister sharing these things with you, she probably pointed at the fireplace and said, hey, listen, this is what's going to, your life's going to be like for eternity if you don't accept Christ. So, I don't know if she did that. I'm just kidding. But I'm guessing she might have done that. So, all these people told me about Christ. I know I prayed that prayer, but you know what? Something did not happen. I did not change. No matter what happened, I stayed the same. And I will give you a formula. God is not a formula, but I will say this. Meeting Jesus equals change. You cannot meet Jesus and stay the same. Let me say that again. Meeting Jesus will equal change. Your life will change when you meet Jesus. You cannot meet Jesus and stay the same in any way. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In Romans 12 and 2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." All throughout Scripture, it talks about transformation and being new in Christ. When you meet Christ, you change. You become a new creature. You become somebody new. You're not the same as you used to be. I know that whenever I prayed those prayers, that I didn't mean it, that God didn't really come into my life, because I did not change at that point in time. I did not change. What changes? I think there's a lot of things that changes. But I can tell you, in my life, two major things happen. My approach to God changed. Whenever I was a little kid, I was always I was taught that prayer, like, "Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." I'm sure if you've grown up in church, you've heard that, or you've been taught that. And I prayed that prayer, like, every night before I go to bed. Because my thought was God was a formula. Like, if I prayed this, then God would not be angry with me. That was my primary reason of doing it. Because I was like, I just got to keep God happy. Because, you know, he's going to have to, I don't know what's going to happen if I don't pray this. Because he's going to have a cooling off period or something like that. And God's not like that, by the way. He's slow to anger, as the Bible says. But that was what I thought. So I'd pray this. And I'd do it like this every night. Like, because I just wanted to get it over with, but I wanted to please God. So I'd be like, "Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should have four, wake up, pray the Lord, smoke. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. For mom, dad, Brent, Stephanie, me." And then I'd start adding things on it. I'd be like, "Jesus, rock my salvation. Jesus' name, amen." I'd just start praying these things. And then, like, I'd think other things. I'd be like, I'd start thinking about, like, "Oh, I need to pray over the neighborhood. Oh, I need to pray this." And then if I left it out, I'd be like, "Oh, God might be mad with me." And my thought was that God was going to be angry with me if I didn't pray these things. And that was where my salvation was. I tell you what, whenever I laid down or got on my knees when I was 15 years old and asked Jesus into my heart, that prayer stopped because I knew. And it was weird. Like, I wasn't living like a crazy life of sin or anything like that, but I was still in sin and I still needed a Savior big time. And I can remember thinking to myself, like, my mind had completely changed. Like, the way I saw things, the way I felt in my heart, the way that I approached life and God was completely different. I didn't see God as the rule keeper God, as if I do A, B, C, and D, then God would be, you know, then that would please God. And, you know, a lot of other religions do that. Like, if I think that's the main difference between Christianity. Christianity says you can't do A, B, C, and D. You can't be good enough to do that. Other religions say, "Hey, listen, if you do A, B, C, and D, then you're good." You know, that's it, and it really, what it does, it excludes all the people who are weak, who can't do it. So it's very exclusive. And a lot of people want to say Christianity is very exclusive, but I would say other religions are very exclusive because it cancels out a lot of people who are weak. Christianity, it says anybody can come. Anybody can come. And salvation is a free gift if you just ask Jesus in your heart and believe that He raised Jesus from the dead. That God raised Jesus from the dead. You can have salvation. You know, and I would say another big thing is your affections changed. You fall in love with God for what He did. Like this man in this text, like he was at the feet of Jesus. He was in love with God. He was in love with what He did for him and everything. And none of that, he wanted to spend time with Him. Like, we'll see later in this text that he didn't want Jesus to leave. He wanted to be with Him. And likewise, as a believer in Christ, when we get saved, we want to spend time with Him. We have that desire to be in His Word and get to know Him in prayer. Also, I'd say you want to obey Him. God gives you that desire to obey Him. Another question comes up, can you be a Christian and still sin? Of course, yes, we do sin. Paul struggled with sin, as you said. He said, like, he really wanted to not sin, but he still couldn't do it. You know, he still struggled. "Who shall deliver me from this body?" Jesus Christ, you know. So, here's the thing. The main point I want to make. The major difference is, when you sin as a believer, there's conviction. I would say if you can sin, if you can gossip, if you can tear down a coworker, if you can knowingly sin and not feel any conviction about it, I would definitely say that you might want to nail that down to the ground as to why that is. Because when Jesus lives inside of you and you do something you know you shouldn't do, Jesus convicts you. Amen. There is conviction in your heart. The Bible does say sin is pleasurable for a season. But I would say that when you do sin, you can't fully enjoy it like you used to. So if you can sin, if you can, like, look at pornography, if you can, you know, be involved in a shady business deal, if you can lie and not feel any conviction about it, you might want to ask yourself why that is. Because when people meet Jesus, they change. And God puts that Holy Spirit into you. Let's keep going. Let's keep reading. And verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who begged, who had been demon-possessed, begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and begged and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Question number three. Who did you tell? Who did you tell about Jesus? Notice Jesus, when he talks to this guy, he doesn't say, once he gets saved, go, start a small group Bible study. He doesn't say, go into the ministry and then share the gospel. He doesn't say, go get a master's degree or anything like that. He says, just go tell your story. He doesn't make it complicated for him. He commands us to tell others. And it's funny, like when I talk to other Christians about how what they say about evangelism. Like, I talked to this one guy once. He was like, because we talked about sharing the gospel and everything. He's like, well, that's cool for other people. I don't really have that gift. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I'm kind of like, really? And then another guy told me that, that you might be the only book that someone may read. You might be the only Bible that someone may read. So make sure that you live it out, and you don't necessarily need to use words. The only problem with that, and that's more biblical than the first one, but the only problem with those two statements are the Bible. Because the Bible says we need to live it out, but we also need to tell it. There's a thing called the Great Commission where Jesus said to go into all the world and tell everyone about him. So you and I, regardless of what our calling in his life, in life, wherever he puts us, he has commanded us to tell people about Jesus Christ. He's commanded us to he's put us in those positions to tell others about Christ and to live it out. Other observations I've seen with people witnessing to other people is, though, have you ever been at a red light and somebody just blares the music up really, really loud? Like, that's annoying to me. Like, I, put up the windows and then I look over at whoever's in the car and I'm like, that's really cool, sarcastically. But I've known people that when they witness, what they'll do is they'll turn up their Christian music really loud and think that's like someone will automatically bow their knee and accept Jesus into their heart because of Christian music. And if someone did that to me, I don't care what kind of music it is, I'm going to be a little bit annoyed if they're turning it up really, really loud. But God calls us to go to the people directly, face to face, and tell them and talk to them. And be wise about it. In Romans 10:13-15, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." You know why this is difficult, though, whenever it comes to sharing the gospel? I think it comes down to it creates a higher expectation of our life. When we tell someone about Christ, they look at us, they watch us. As some people are like, well, if I tell someone, they'll watch me. Yes, they will. They will watch you. They will look at how you live. I would say another reason is scared of rejection. There was this one time I went down to the beach back when I was probably about 19 or 20 with another church, and I walked on the boardwalk. It was during like a Christian convention in March. It's called Impact, and I walked on the beach, and we were just talking to different people about Christ, and like basically everyone we talked to, because there was a Christian convention down there, were believers in Christ, and like, "You're so awesome, you're awesome. Go tell people. I'm gonna sit right here, but you go to tell people." Then we went and we talked to one person, and they got like really angry with us, and they told us to get away and leave, and we were like very much hurt by that, and we were like, "You know what? I don't know if we want to do this anymore." This person got really ticked off with us. And but what God showed me is that Jesus, he was rejected too. Anytime you share Jesus with people, there's people that are going to get mad. There's people who are going to get glad. Other people might get a little scared and terrified. But Jesus was rejected. And if you're following in Jesus' footsteps, there's going to be times you're going to be rejected. That's a part of life. We will face rejection in this life. And probably, I'd say the most common answer I hear to why it's difficult to sharing the gospel is a lot of people say, "Well, I just don't know all the answers." Like, if someone asks me an answer or a question, like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to share that with them. If I mean, you know, they might be lost forever. And I would say, like, A, you should know your faith inside and out. You should know your faith. But that doesn't mean you know all the answers. What Jesus did here in this text, if you look at it, Jesus said to go home to his own people and tell them. He said, listen, just go tell your story. I would say that's the simplest thing you could possibly do when sharing the gospel. If you want to make it simple, like, you don't have to go and approach it as a debate. Like, if you go and approach it as a debate, I guarantee you will turn that person off, wherever it may be. But if you go and you tell your story about how Jesus changed you, even if it wasn't like you were an axe murderer or anything like that, that's powerful. That is powerful. It's how God changed you. And I would challenge each of us today, like, when you go and you talk to people in your life, because God has put you in that place of work, in that school, in the places that you are in this life for a purpose. So I challenge you, go tell your story. That's what he's called us to. So I'm going to kind of wrap this up here. The question I have for you today is, what's your story? When did you meet Christ? Was there a change? And did you tell anybody? If you don't know the answers to those three questions, that's something you got to nail down on the ground today. That's something that God doesn't want you to leave here being in doubt. The one thing we shouldn't doubt about is our salvation. That's the one thing that we should know for a fact. In Romans 10, 9 through 10, it says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is written with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It is simple. All you have to do is accept Christ, is to just ask Jesus into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by God. It's that simple. It's the most important thing that you could possibly do. Now, right now, I'd just like everyone just bow their heads. Right now, we're just going to close this up. This man who met Jesus, you know, he was changed. I don't know when that happened for you. But if you don't know right now, and you would like to accept Christ in your life, if you want to make that 100% sure right now, you can do that. You may have been in church for 5 years. You may say amen in all the right places. You may say hallelujah in all the right places. You might have founded this church. It doesn't matter. You need to know that you know that you know. And if you don't know, you can know right now. So, if you want to accept Christ in your life right now, just to challenge you, let me see your hand. And if you have things that you need to nail down on the ground right now, maybe you have sin issues in your life, maybe something God's convicting you right now in your life, who knows what it might be. But that's things that you need to nail down on the ground as well. So I would just encourage you today, wherever your walk of life, investigate your story, because I want you to walk out of here knowing. I want to challenge you today to when you're in your study, as you go along, I want you to think about those three questions. I want you to think about how you've approached that, and did it really happen to you? So, you can open your eyes, by the way. So, I didn't want you to stay down there forever. But yes. So, that's it. That's all I got for you guys today. So, I wanted to preach Christ, and we're preaching Christ. So, so thank you for having me. That's it. So let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for just everyone that came here this morning. And I just pray that if there are people here today that don't know you or don't have a relationship with you, God, I just pray that seeds are planted and that one day there might be a harvest. We know that you're a good God and that you love us with all your heart. And we just want to thank you for that. And we just thank you for the salvation that we have in you and the story that you have given us. And I just pray that we go out and we share it with people. We just thank you and we just praise you. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.